Welcome to The Real Love Show on Rulac Radio with Patricia Benjamin. This is The Real Love Show. I'm your host, Patricia Benjamin, and it's Rulac Radio.
It inside much too long. There's no relief. Carried it around just like a stone. Too heavy for me. Spirit is broken and there's nothing left. Just a terrible me. And the days are marked by the heaviness of the heart. It never mends until the healing.
This is Dr. Gary Chapman, author of The Five Love Languages, and you're listening to Patricia Benjamin's Real Love Show on Rulac Radio.
Yes, you certainly are. Welcome to the Love Zone. That was Joe Cocker there. We've let the healing begin. All right, I've got a fantastic guest, don't I always, though? But this lady's name is Rio Gibbs. I had the pleasure of meeting her a couple of weeks ago when I was speaking at a conference here in the UK, and she was along there too. Really great. great to connect and so pleased that she can join me today. Rio Gibbs is the founder of Body Language, which is a lifestyle enhancement experience. Oh, yes. She's also a creative writer and the co-founder of VDR Magazine. She was raised here in East London with multicultural parents and was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes at the age of 3. Through finding her voice within the challenges of chronic invisible illness, she has dedicated her life to her God-given calling of serving other women and aiding them through mentoring, body alignment workshops, and innovative programs, all designed to enhance, enrich, and uncover the wonders of women globally. Rio Gibbs, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. In fact, when I meet somebody that's all about serving other women, yes, I'm all for it.
Me too.
Yes, exactly. Well, it was so nice meeting you the other week, as I said. I really loved your energy. I really love your spirit. And then to find out what you're doing, I think is so amazing and it's so different. And I thought my listeners need to hear all about you, Rio.
Oh, thank you so much. It was a pleasure to meet you too. It was such a great evening
as
well. So it was just brilliant. But yeah, thank you.
No, you're welcome. Well, listen, I want to talk about what you do through this whole body language, this enhancement experience. I want to know all about it. But before we go into everything, just tell my audience a little bit about yourself. I know you're raised here in London. You've got multicultural parents. But where do they come from? What's your background, Rio?
Yep. So my mum's parents were actually from the Punjab in India.
Right.
And my dad's parents were born in Grenada,
okay.
In the Caribbean.
Okay.
So it was quite a mix of cultures.
It is, yes.
And the first time I sort of knew, obviously, about what the body could do and the power of it, I was about 3 and a half and I started to get all these symptoms.
Right.
I was very, very sick.
Right.
And shortly after that, my mother got cervical cancer, so she couldn't have any more children, and I sort of started to grow up understanding just how important and how amazing a woman's body actually is. And obviously my two cultures, Indian and Grenadian, so I started to sort of understand the relationship between food and just how much that is sort of such a huge part of both cultures. And it really started from there with my own experiences, my parents, you know, going through that as well.
Right.
Watching them having to understand what was going on with me that made me intrigued.
Right, I'm sure. So what was that journey like for you?
It was very hard. And I think it was hard because I was a child growing up around two adults.
Okay.
So I had to grow up very quickly. Anybody who suffers with any type of illness, whether that's mental or physical, will know that there is a part of you that has to sort of brush away, especially if you've been diagnosed from quite a young age.
Yeah, of course.
You have to brush away the childlike. And, you know, you have to grow up very, very quickly.
Yeah.
It was very difficult because when I was probably about 13, 14, 15, as a girl, you're trying to really find your voice. You're trying to find out who you are.
Of course you are.
And I just was overpowered by the sound of my illness. And I couldn't jump out of that. It was something that I couldn't, everybody would, a lot of people would say to me, you know, I'd have counselling and things, and they'd say, well, why don't you try working with it? And I'd be like, I just can't. We didn't understand each other. And I found it very hard to place myself into a position at school and things like that, where I could fit in, really. It's quite difficult.
I'm sure. And also what you're saying is because you were diagnosed so early, I mean, 3 and a half years, I mean, you're just a toddler, basically. You say you had to kind of put away childish things, that obviously at an early age. But do you feel then that you kind of missed out on the childhood that everybody would expect to have?
Yes. One thing I will say, though, is that my family and my parents were so, so good. You know, they really tried to give me the best childhood I could have.
Right.
But it's very difficult when you're, you know, 3-4 years old, yeah, and you've got to have your finger pricked and you've got to have needles every 10 minutes. You know,
gosh,
it's very difficult to understand, I think, as a child.
Yes.
And so that innocence dissolved quite quickly because I then had to understand that the world wasn't all, you know, rainbows. And, it, you know, I had to understand quite quickly that I had to grow up,
yes,
and I had to understand things that maybe a child growing up without an illness,
yes,
or being a carer would have to understand, really.
But did you not find yourself in the way, although, you know, you've kind of taken a hold of it in a very mature way, but was there not a part of you then, Rio, that was quite resentful having to do so? Because I imagine your peers were quite, you know, happy, happy, you know, and all the rest of it, quite at peace and having fun.
Yes. Oh my gosh, Patricia, I went through maybe half my adolescence,
yes,
absolutely loathing myself.
I
couldn't get to grips, and I just, instead of trying to understand what was going on, I just didn't want to anymore. It got to a place where things were just going so wrong,
yes,
health-wise, that I just thought, why can't I be normal?
Yeah, I'm sure.
It was really difficult because of the way things were going with the diabetes. I would go to appointments and they would say, look, for a young person, this is not going well. So I knew things were going downhill.
Yes.
And at the same time as trying to, you know, make new friends, and I really loved drama, and that was my outlet.
Really?
So I would go to drama class,
and
I'd sing.
Excellent.
But I then had to understand as well that if I didn't fix what was going on at that point in my life, it would then have repercussions when I was to become a young woman. And it was difficult because I think a lot of the time when we're ignorant to something and we can't understand it, we automatically think, right, well, there's no explanation. It must be you.
Right. Okay.
And that's kind of what happened. I was just kind of thrown into this unknown sort of place. Of Rio, it's you. You're eating something wrong. You're doing something wrong.
Yeah.
And it just got to a point where I believed them. And so I did resent myself for a very long time.
Yeah. And the thing is, I can quite understand that in a way, because there's something there for you. It's not in your imagination. You know, you haven't got that dysmorphic order. You know, you've actually got an issue there. It's very real. So I get that. But I'm just thinking, like, you're saying it was like an invisible illness. So if your friends were to look at you or other people looked at you, they would not have been aware that you had these issues.
No. And that was probably one of the biggest problems. Because it wasn't something people could see, it was very hard for people to believe. And it just, you know, I would sometimes have to be excused from class, and then your classmates, because they couldn't see that.
Right.
It was very difficult, again, to explain something that people just couldn't see. And it jumped from classmates to teachers to, you know, I've had it throughout, you know, really my life.
Gosh.
Of, you know, jumping from classmates to teachers to,
yes,
you know, just going into the normal adult world of jobs. And, you know, it was quite difficult because obviously it's not something you can see. And that also has a mental strain.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's quite difficult.
So when you're saying the mental strain, is that because of the lack of support that you were getting? Did you feel that you were continually having to defend yourself? When you say mental strain, how did that sort of show itself?
Well, when I was in secondary school,
I
would have my parents would be at the school defending me probably every other week.
Oh, gosh. It was this constant battle of,
you know, please help us.
Yes.
And I was missing a lot of school.
Yes.
So I was under a lot of pressure because I was very sick at the time.
Yes.
I was missing a lot of my education.
Right.
And that was also a strain because we was always told at that point that, you know, you have no GCSEs, it's not going to work out very well for you.
Yeah,
and so
of course.
I really just got into this state of my life is over.
Yes.
And that was the mental strain because it's very hard also to, anybody who's suffered this will understand where I'm coming from. It's hard to be in a body that at that point you don't want. But you're stuck with it. You know, there's nothing I can do to separate that. And that was a strain on me mentally because I was fighting myself every day. Eventually, I had to be homeschooled. So I was then separated and segregated from my peers. And those things are really hard mentally to get through. Just me being an adult now, it would be really difficult for me to get through now.
I get it.
But as a teenager, it's really difficult.
It's got to be so much worse, isn't it? And the thing is as well, even if we didn't have those issues, you know, even if you didn't have those issues, at that age anyway, going through adolescence, your body's changing anyway, you've got no control over it. You know, we're at our most vulnerable, very, very sensitive. You know, so many teenage girls hate themselves. I mean, they have those issues going on anyway, but you've got all that on top of it.
Yeah, 100%. It was a very, one of those times where it's hard to know how I got out of that, that stage, really, to pinpoint it. It was just one of those things that I really worked hard on to sort of come to terms with, okay, we've got this thing, how are we going to control it? You know, and a lot of the times, my body would be controlling me. So that was the main thing. If I wanted to go for a sleepover, I couldn't do it. If I wanted to go to the cinema with my friends, you know, it was like supervision. And a lot of people used to laugh at me because my parents would have to be that extra protective over me. So a lot of people didn't understand just how much in a bubble I was brought up. But yes, it was because, you know, obviously I was going through so much. It is really, it is one of those things that I think has, people always say, oh, my illness isn't me, or, you know, that's not who I am. But for me, I couldn't run away from it. It was me. It was me. And for me, that was a negative. Because it had a negative output on my life. I couldn't really work with it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I get it. Did you ever find yourself, Rio, trying to compensate in a way, like doing something else that would make up for your inabilities in other areas?
That's such a good question. I definitely did when it came to jobs. When I got my first job, I was 16. And I really, really wanted to prove myself. I had been rejected from school. They had kind of given up on me. And what I wanted to do was go into a workplace. And I told myself, it's a fresh start. And I can handle this. So I would, you know, I went into my first job. I overworked myself. I was very, very good at my job. And, you know, they were very impressed with me with the way that I worked. Customer service and stuff. And because somebody had given me that type of attention. At that point, at 16 years old, I thought, I've never had this before. I've never had somebody just see that I'm good at what I'm doing. And because of that, I would work the extra hours. I would go above and beyond. And so the repercussions of that is my body not responding very well. And so it would go the completely other way because I would get very, very sick from pushing too hard.
Yeah, I get that. Let me ask you, because going back to, as I said, you know, being quite vulnerable at that sort of age, sort of 14, 15, 16, and really trying to explore in your femininity and wanting to be liked, did you have difficulty in feeling beautiful, Rio? Because often at that time we kind of compare ourselves to other girls and think, oh, are we as good as them? How did you cope with that?
That was again a difficult one for me. Both my parents are in the beauty industry, hairdressers. So I was always brought up around, you know, seeing very beautiful, strong women. You know, I was always brought up in that environment. So for me, again, because of that, it was hard because I'd see my insulin at the time was a appetite stimulant. So it would make me eat double the amounts of a person without taking insulin. illness. So mm-hmm. I would be eating loads.
Yes.
And I'd be putting on weight. Mm-hmm. And that would then make me feel down about
of
my
course.
Appearance.
Of course, yes.
The way that I looked, the way that, you know, and of mm-hmm. course, not only about the diabetes, but
yes.
my hair was big and curly, and people yes. would laugh at me because I had massive hair, and
yes,
they'd say,
yes.
oh, I'd want it straight, you
yeah.
know, I'd always want it straight because
okay.
I've wanted to fit in.
Mm-hmm.
But, yes, it had a huge impact because
yeah.
I was always told that if you're carrying extra weight, it's a bad thing, and don't think you're beautiful for
yeah.
carrying extra
yeah.
weight.
Oh,
so,
God.
You know, I always
they really
had
tell
that
you,
issue.
Don't they? Yes.
It doesn't help.
Yes, yes.
I don't think it helped because there was a health standpoint as
yeah,
well.
Of course.
I'm seeing it, you know, from a point of view of I was reading magazines and,
yeah.
you know, at that point we were just getting into, like, really watching music videos and
yeah.
things like that.
Yes.
So that was all changing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd have appointments where they would tell me also it's mm-hmm. not good to be overweight.
Yeah, so not helpful.
Yeah.
Have you come to, I know we haven't got to the element now where you're talking about, you know, the this experience of body language, but how do you now feel beautiful, Rio? How are you feeling about that part of yourself?
That's such a great question. Mm. Yes. I
oh,
feel
wow.
beautiful mm-hmm. because I've learned that there are so many layers to love.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. There are so many layers to beauty.
Right.
And in order for me to feel beautiful,
yes.
I sometimes, you know, I want people to understand this as well.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a lot of conversation
yes.
with yourself to constantly, you know, every day when I wake up, I'm constantly in conversation
right.
with myself, because if not, we can sometimes get to a point where if we aren't aware of ourselves,
mm-hmm.
we let other things come in far too quickly.
Right.
And
yes.
when we digest that in,
mm-hmm.
that can then weigh us down as well.
Yeah, so
So
right.
I'm very aware, and mm-hmm. that's what makes me feel beautiful.
Okay.
Sometimes I wake up and I think, oh, no, not today. You know, I look in the mirror and I think, oh, no.
Not today.
Not today. But then I have to have the conversation of...
Yeah.
That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Today might not be a great day.
Right.
I think there's a very fine line between pretending
mm-hmm.
and understanding ourselves as
oh,
well.
I like that distinction. Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There is a very fine line. And
yes.
I think sometimes we're in a generation where
yeah.
We're constantly told that even if we don't feel it, we should pretend.
Fake it till you make
yes,
it. Yes, all of that.
100%.
Yes.
And
mm-hmm.
to a certain degree, there
yes.
is an element of that.
Yes.
But
yes.
I think there has to be the right balance,
because mm-hmm.
I have to wake up, look
yes.
in the mirror and keep telling myself that,
yeah.
you know, I'm beautiful because.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not just...
Mm-hmm.
I'm beautiful because, you know, I've decided to get, you know, it's different for each person.
I agree.
But
I agree.
For me, yes. And it's just because I'm aware of the way that I'm functioning, the way
mm-hmm.
that I'm processing life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's what makes me beautiful. I think it all depends on what we call ourselves.
Yeah.
What is beauty to us all, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So right. I asked that question, Rio, because I was at an event about maybe 2-3 weeks ago with that.
Mm.
And oh my gosh, I tell you, it was like, I would really have to put it in the frame of like personal empowerment,
mm-hmm.
but you kind of dealt with different parts of yourself. And
yeah.
during this process, we were talking about you imagining yourself as you are now, so at your age that you are now, and going back to yourself as a child, say, whenever you could picture yourself. So if you pictured yourself as a 5-year-old or a 10-year-old, the youngest that you could actively picture yourself. And when I had that experience, I imagined a picture of myself that I had at school. I think I was like about 6 or 7.
Yeah.
And that picture came before me. So I thought, okay, that's me now. I'm speaking to that Patricia, you know. And we were told you need to say to your younger self, I'm sorry I haven't told you this before, but you are beautiful.
Mm.
Oh my God, Rio, I
yeah.
wanted to cry. I was like, oh my gosh, it's too much. You know that
yeah.
ugly cry, the deep cry when your face
yeah.
collapses? You're thinking, is anybody looking?
Yeah.
This is so awful. And I just couldn't understand. And I realized that, you know, throughout the years, We are so good at beating up on ourselves. We get on the scale and it's gone up by 2 pounds. We think, oh my God, what have you done to yourself? Look, you know, your hips are too big or whatever it is. And we're just so good at thinking we're so awful. Yeah. And we read the magazines that say, this is the shape, this is what you need to be doing. You need to wear a waist trainer. You need to be running every day, whatever it is. And we are just so good at it. And I thought, my God, have I ever told myself you are beautiful? And I thought, not really. And I said, no, you are beautiful. You know, I love this body that's pushed out 4 children. I think you're amazing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's exactly. And it's like we just have to learn to love ourselves. But there's such a powerful process, Rio, I tell you. You know, I just didn't realise it was there, but it was.
I think you're so right. There's so many different things. So many women come and speak to me.
Right.
About how they're feeling, why they're feeling that way.
Indeed.
And I'll share something with you.
Yes.
When I was going through all of this, I, you know, started loathing my body and I was feeling really bad about myself. I attracted in a very unhealthy relationship.
Right.
And that was my first relationship, serious relationship.
Yes.
And I attracted it. It was very abusive.
Oh.
And I was always blaming that person.
Right.
I was never, ever understanding. I tried to be so kind and, you know, I tried to be so open with my heart.
Yes.
Why is this happening?
Mm-hmm.
And actually, it took me a very long time to actually learn that it's the way that I'm responding to myself, which is putting it out there to be attacked.
Yes, yes.
And that's really hard to take responsibility.
It is tough.
It's so hard
to
say, actually, I have a massive part to play in this because, you know, I really hated who I was. I really couldn't... I just didn't want to make the time for myself, really. And so when I got into this relationship, I thought, oh, I don't worry. I have the biggest heart. I've got so much to give.
Yeah, so much love.
I didn't know what I had to give.
Right.
Because I wasn't acknowledging who I was.
Yeah.
And that's a really important point because so many women come and speak to me about being in, you know, about just relationships in general, friendship, relationships with partners, things like that, relationships with your parents or however it's going.
Definitely.
I've had a lot of conversations like that and I always ask, how do you feel about you?
Okay.
Because that's a huge thing to ask yourself.
It is.
You know, how do you actually feel about yourself? Because that makes the world of difference when you're attracting in people around you and their responses to you also.
Yes. So, my guest today is Rio Gibbs and we're talking body language. Now, I'm going to share the song that I had my experience with and I'm just hoping you guys take a moment, wherever you are, let this be your time, but know that you are beautiful.
Are so beautiful, to me, you are so beautiful. Can't you see? You're everything I hope for. You're everything I need. You are so beautiful. Such joy and happiness you bring, such joy and days. You bring like a dream, a guiding light that shines in the night. Heaven's gift to me. You are so beautiful to me. Yeah.
Hi, this is Oprah's Ambassador of Hope, Marilla Scott. You're listening to Patricia Benjamin's Real Love Show with Ruach Radio.
Yes, you are. That's Joe Cocker there with You Are So Beautiful. Did you like that there, Rio?
Oh, that's so beautiful. It was lovely.
It was beautiful.
It was lovely.
And I was breaking down while that was...
Me too.
That was, that was amazing.
Yeah,
oh, my
beautiful.
Gosh. Yes. But we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and we just have to remember that so, so much. Well, Rio, I want to talk with you some more, so much about the body language and how that got birthed. I mean, how did you come from, you know, not liking yourself, not loving yourself, to birthing something like this body language experience?
Wow. I was going through this vicious cycle of, you know, finding something I like to do,
yes,
thinking I had control over my life, and then
right,
something would go wrong with my body all the time.
Mm.
And I kept hearing this thing of, it's all about the mindset.
Okay. Okay.
And I thought, okay, yeah, I can work with that one. I'll try my best with that. I
yes,
can work with that. So
yes,
I started to sort of dive into self-development.
Mm-hmm.
I started to read. I was, I think, 15 when I read The Secret.
Okay.
And I started to really dive into those things.
Mm-hmm.
And I was about 16. I was feeling really low.
Yes.
And I got invited to a Christian event.
Right.
It was a gospel singing event.
Right.
And I had never heard of this man before.
Okay.
And I went to the event, and his name was Kirk Franklin.
Okay.
So I went to the event, and I was absolutely just flabbergasted.
Wow.
I had never felt such a pull
really
from inside of me before.
Amazing.
And something began to shift,
mm-hmm,
in me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I really leaned in for a voice.
Yes.
And I just gave everything away, Patricia. I just gave everything away
really
in that moment.
Wonderful.
And in that moment, I started... From that day, I started to ask for guidance.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what a lot of people do is,
yes,
we can specifically ask for healing.
Yes.
For example, so I started to go on the journey of specifically asking for healing.
Right.
Now, healing to me looks like, please completely strip my body,
right,
you know, at the time, strip
yes
my body
yes
of this illness.
Of
because,
course.
To be honest, God, I don't really want it anymore.
Yes, 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 yes.
And actually, I had to come to terms with the fact that I was being told, you know, by the Holy Spirit that healing will come,
mm-hmm,
but not in the form that you think it's going to come.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And took me ages to accept this.
Yeah.
Still wasn't accepting it.
Yeah.
And was like, well, why?
Yeah.
You know, you've done
yeah
miracles before.
Thank you. You've done this before, Lord. You can do it. Yes.
Why can't you just do it for
yes
me? And I kept being told, no, because everything you went through...
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to use it now.
Gosh, okay.
And I was terrified.
Yeah.
Absolutely terrified,
mm-hmm,
because there were things that I would have to come out and speak about that
yeah
I, you know, I kept saying, I'm not ready to do this.
Right.
Stop telling me that I can do this because I can't. And it was just one of those things where I kept saying, okay, let's come to a compromise.
Yeah.
I'll do something around what you're telling me to do.
Yeah.
But I won't actually do what you're asking me to.
Mm-hmm.
So I did that for a couple of years.
Okay.
I started to kind of give good advice here and there.
Yeah,
And just tried to talk to people about my own experiences.
Right.
And what was happening was I was getting just inundated with women really? All women just right. coming to speak to me.
Really?
And I didn't take this as a sign till about a year ago.
Okay.
About a year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
That God was kind of saying to me,
yes,
I need you to talk to the women.
Okay.
Because they need to know that they're more important than they think they are. Mm. And I just kept resisting.
Right.
I really was terrified because okay. if you think about it, I'd spent my whole childhood
yes.
being put down.
Of course, of course.
So mm-hmm. it was just one of those things that was like, how can you say that I'm going to have a good experience from this?
Right, yeah,
when I've
you.
Come out of horrible ones.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I sat down and I started to think, okay, what would you do? And mm-hmm. I don't know if you've heard this expression, you probably have, but what would Jesus do?
Oh, yes,
and,
that's a classic.
I started to just kind of think about what it was that I was actually being asked to do.
Right.
And the things that I'd actually prayed for.
Okay.
And healing for me now
mm-hmm.
comes with being able to aid somebody else
okay.
with what I have
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and giving from what I've got.
Wow.
So I was powerful. Always saying, can mm-hmm. you just give me something else?
Yeah.
I don't have enough.
Yes, yes.
I don't have enough. Can you yeah. give me just one more thing? And actually, it was about me standing in the fact that I had everything,
wow.
absolutely everything that I needed
wow.
To move forward.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was kind of just that aha moment of, that's all I'm asking you to do.
Okay.
I'm not asking you to go up there
right.
and tell everyone you have the answers.
Right, okay.
But what it was is, I need you to go up there and tell everybody else that they have the answers.
Gosh. Oh, my gosh.
And it was really just one of those things that yeah. was like, how am I going to do this?
Yes, yes.
And really, body language is birthed from the process that I went through.
Okay.
To understand that our minds have a voice. So when you think something, you can hear that loud and clear.
Okay, okay.
Your bodies also have a voice, which is the vibration.
Right.
And then you have the spirit that mm-hmm. is the inner voice.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And those three things combined make up a body language.
Wow.
So those three things combined
yes.
make up a voice, just one voice.
Wow. Yes.
And that's where it was really birthed from, is from me understanding the fact that my mind has to speak to the body, that
yes.
has to speak to the spirit.
Yes. Wow.
And that's where that comes from. That's
yeah.
where it all started.
It's so powerful. I love it so much. Oh, have you ever looked into things like quantum mechanics or quantum physics at all, Rio?
Yes, a little bit.
Okay.
A little bit, yes.
Yeah, it's very, very interesting. I really believe it's the scientific way of explaining the spirit realm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I really believe that's what
yeah.
it is. So powerful. Because obviously people need to find the language.
Yes.
You know, if you're not a Christian, you're not necessarily a believer, but
yeah.
you've got to find language to explain the things that you can't see that you know that are there.
Yes.
Very
yes.
powerful.
Yes, and that's the thing. I think a lot of the time we forget to talk to our bodies, and all
yes.
the time that I was, you know, forgetting to mm-hmm. communicate with her.
Yes, yes.
And it's funny because a lot of people say, you're always saying her, who are you referring to? I'm
yes.
actually referring to my physical self,
wow.
To my body.
I love that, yes.
Yeah, I talk to her all
yes.
the time.
Yes.
Sometimes, you know, when I'm feeling really ill,
yes.
I switched my thinking up from,
yeah.
oh my gosh, not now,
to, yes.
if you need to release something,
yeah.
let it go.
Right.
Because there comes to a point where you need to accept that there are things, sometimes we harbour things, emotions, they turn into things.
Oh, yes, they
well.
Do. Oh, yes, they do.
And, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of the time, emotionally, we need to let go of things. Sometimes we don't even know we're harbouring things from 10 years ago.
So right.
But we are, because we're affected. We're human beings. We're
yes.
going to get affected.
Thank you.
And so I really have to come to terms with the fact of, if my body needs to release something,
right,
you release it, girl.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I kind of think.
Yes.
I think you
yes.
need to get rid.
Yeah.
But then after you're going yes. through this process of getting rid,
mm-hmm.
you
mm-hmm.
need to then be able to have that communication 24/7.
Right.
It's like people ask me a lot about praying.
Yes.
And, you know, we always do, you know, a lot of us pray before we eat or, you know, things like that.
Yes.
And I always say, I'm in constant prayer.
Right.
It's constant. Because I'm just in a constant conversation.
Yeah.
It's a constant, I walk in conversation.
Yeah.
Because I have to be aware.
Mm-hmm.
And gratitude and things like that that we speak about so often,
yeah.
those things are constant vibrations that come off the body and come off the mind.
Yes.
And it is all just about just one whole thing coming together.
Yeah.
But it can be quite, it's quite a hard thing to grasp.
Right.
But once you've got it, you've got it.
Yeah, and I love it because it gives us a way of explaining things. Because, you know, sometimes people can, someone can come into a room and as they come in, the atmosphere just changes.
Yeah.
But then well, how do you explain that? You know, how do you explain that? Or I could walk into a room with a couple and they've just had like a really terrible argument, calling each other names. But when I come in, they stop talking.
Yeah.
But however, when I come in, I sense there's something not right.
Yeah.
So how do I know this?
Yeah,
you know, what's in the environment? Yeah.
It's like children, they always know. They always know everything, don't they?
Yes, they do.
And it's because, you know, I believe that when we're babies, when we're children, we're so sensitive
always,
to vibration
always.
And, you know, energy.
Yes,
that
yes.
they could just communicate what they see and feel, you know.
Yes.
We've just kind of grown
in
society to know that we need to switch that off.
Yeah, and that's exactly what we've done.
Yeah.
That's exactly, to our cost.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I love these types of conversations. I find them very, very inspiring.
Yeah.
So many things that I want to say, but we've only got like 15 minutes. I don't know where the time goes.
Yeah.
But listen, let's talk about your event. I know you're doing something on body language. I've got my ticket, so I will be there. I'm so looking forward to it. But tell me, is it just feels as though your approach to this thing is quite different from what I'd expect. So tell us, what's your approach? You're talking about vibrations, you're talking about energy.
Mm-hmm.
And I find it great because what I have found, Rio, is particularly as believers, because we're so afraid and we don't want to be associated with the new age, there are some things that we stay away from. But God is the creator, you know, and so we need to be aware of what's there and begin to understand it. Because the Bible says in the last days, knowledge will increase and we need to learn these things. And so let's talk a little bit about your approach to body language and how we can love ourselves and heal ourselves. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. So the event is kind of like a workshop style.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the way that this has been set out is that it's an intimate thing.
Right.
So we're not having past 20 women on each day. So for 2 days.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the reason for that is because sometimes it's like, right, it's like going to church and, you know, you're in the room full of people.
Yes.
And sometimes we get afraid to lift our hands up in praise because we're scared to look the fool in front of other people. It's kind of the same thing and the same concept.
Okay.
It's a smaller group of women to create a safe space.
I hear you.
To speak about the things that... health is a big word. Body is a big word.
Mm-hmm,
and we don't sometimes realise how much of our lives it affects.
Yeah.
And so I want to all walks, you know, of life, of women to come in and be able that they can sort of speak freely.
Yes.
About the things that they want to speak about.
Right.
It could be things that have happened in their past.
Sure.
That have affected them now.
Mm-hmm,
so that's what those are designed to do.
Right.
What body language as a whole is designed to do is literally just to get you in touch with you.
Okay.
To understand the wonder of you, basically.
Yeah.
And I call it a body enhancement experience because you are experiencing the body. It's an experience.
Yes.
It's not just this thing that keeps you alive. It talks to us. It hears us.
Yes.
And I think that's a huge deal for for a female body to be able to carry another human being.
Yes.
You have to be able to speak to it. It's marvelous. But so much of the time we're so focused on what it's not doing.
Oh yeah.
We forget you know, what it is.
Yes.
And so those are what those workshops are designed to do. And I didn't realize, honestly, Patricia, how huge it was going to be, how many women were going to cry out for something like this.
Yes, yes.
It's different to what people may have heard about before.
Okay.
Because it has the spiritual element.
Of course.
But it also has the physical element.
Yes.
It also has the element of, it's not just about the feeling, it's not just about the mindset. But it's about what we're feeding ourselves on a daily basis.
Yes, yeah.
I think a lot of the times you can have one extreme or the other. You can have the mental side.
Yes, or spiritual. Yes, yes.
But you never have the in-between.
Yeah.
So that's so what that is, really.
Yeah.
They are happening next month, so they're happening over the 12th and the 13th of December.
Right.
The Tuesday event had booked up. It booked up really, really quickly.
Okay.
Funnily enough, which I'm really grateful for.
Excellent.
And the Wednesday has 6 seats left.
Oh my gosh.
Available. It is a free event as well.
Yes,
we just want people to come in and have a chat.
Yes.
But it's going to be an amazing couple of days.
I've heard
some amazing stories already, and I just think it's so powerful when we come out and we just speak.
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of the time, for me, it's just body language is, you know, birthed from so many things. But for me, it was about stepping outside of the fact that it's not about me.
Right.
That's what gives me the courage.
Yes.
Is that it's not about me.
Yeah. So right. My gosh, I'm so inspired. I can't even wait for this event to take place.
I'm so excited. So excited.
Oh my gosh. Well, listen, my guest today is Rio Gibbs, and I'm excited. As I say, it's the Real Love Show, and it's still Rurac Radio.
I'm not afraid to let it show anymore. This is Paul Carrick Brunson, and you are listening to one of my favorite shows, Patricia Benjamin's Real Love Show.
Yes, you are. And that was Jasmine Sullivan there with Masterpiece. And my guest today, so inspirational, Rio Gibbs. And we're talking about her event coming up, Body Language. Now, listen, Rio, do we need to have the hankies at the ready? Are we all going to be collapsing in tears? What's going to happen? Let me just prepare from now.
My hope is that there will be some tears, but there'll be a lot of laughs as well. I do hope that I find that humour is really powerful as well.
Yes.
Just as powerful as tears. So there will be lots of releasing, I'll tell you that.
Oh, right. Okay. Now that word, is that like a euphemism for what now? For crying?
You probably might cry. I'm really an emotional person. I'm really switched on with my emotions. So I'll probably cry listening to one person and that might set you off, Patricia.
Oh,
gosh. You never know.
All right, but listen, we've got 2-3 minutes, so I just want you just to, for our listeners to know, and just to be very clear, they're not going to just come for an emotional day. There's going to be real change taking place at a deep level. Can you just assure them of that? This is really worthwhile they're coming along.
It is going to be just a night full of just feeling amazing and understanding you to a higher level, you know, and also understanding what it is that you are capable of doing.
Wow.
I really, really can't stress enough how much that it is not. A lot of people have asked me, are we coming to learn about you? No, you're coming to learn about you.
Yes.
And that's the most, I think, powerful thing about it is if you are coming to this event or if you're thinking about coming, come along with a mind open so that and clear. Come along with a clear heart so that you can be filled.
Right, fantastic. Yeah. Now, for people who perhaps they can't make it, they're not available on those days, where can they find more information about you, Rio, what you do and what you're all about? Can they find you on the web anywhere?
Yes, well, at the moment, we are just finishing off a new 30-day program coming up, which will be launching that over those 2 days.
Excellent.
And you will be able to find me. It's just all kind of getting ready at the moment.
Right.
And we're going to be doing something big. So
Stay tuned.
Can't speak too much about it, but, but yes, that you will be able to definitely find me very soon.
Right, well, Rio, I can't tell you just how you have inspired me, and I have amazing people on this show all the time, but I just feel very expectant of what you're doing. I love what you're doing. It's very different, and I really believe it's going to speak to a lot of the needs that we have as women and human beings. But I think we're just really ready for this, so thank you for putting it on. Thank you for following your God-given purpose, and we love you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been amazing. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. Well, listen, those of you that are listening in, the show also goes out again tonight at 10 p.m. If you missed us live, then the replay goes out tonight, and check your time zones to see what time it is in your neck of the world. But let me say thank you so much to my guest, Rio Gibbs of Body Language. And I've been your host, Patricia Benjamin. I'm here next week for more. I'll see you then.
Your glory fills the sky. display for all to see. Yeah, yeah. The beauty of your majesty awakes my heart to see. How marvelous, how wonderful you are. Beautiful one, I love you. Beautiful one, I adore. Beautiful one, my soul's mercy. Shine.